It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come here today because we need you. So speak, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you can learn a lot of good and useful knowledge in school and from books. But there are certain aspects of life that you only learn, you only master through experience. Like parenting. You can read books about parenting, and they will be helpful, but they can only take you so far. There are some things you only learn through experience. Like, for example, as a husband and a father, there are certain things in married life that are funny, but you can't laugh about them out loud. Otherwise, there could be consequences and trouble could come your way. Now, my wife, who can't be here today because we've got a sick little girl at home, but I will still talk about her today. Wonderful wife, wonderful mother. And when the kids were little, she did an amazing job caring for them. She stayed home in those days and worked at the house, and she loved having a clean house. Ladies, do you like a clean house? Then confess. All right. She loved it. Now, I like a clean house too. I like having the toys put away, but not exactly to the same level that my wife Jeanette does. See, for me, as long as the toys are not spread out all over the floor, that's clean. That's good enough. But for Jeanette, each toy has to be put away in its proper location. Each toy has its own certain box that it has to be in, or it's not clean. Now, that strategy worked just fine before the children could move. But then they got mobile. And look out. I remember one afternoon I was working at home on a sermon, and I was just taking in and watching the household activity. And little Johanna, she crawled into the living room and proceeded to empty out all the toys that were in the living room and got them all over the floor. And then, with her hard work done, she crawled back into her room. A little bit later, I see Jeanette enter the living room, and she sees the toys everywhere. So she stops what she's doing, and she picks them up and puts them all away, each in their own correct box. Meanwhile, Johanna is busy in her room, making sure that all the toys in there are enjoying freedom from their prison-like boxes and containers. Jeanette eventually wanders into Johanna's room, this time sighs as she sees the mess, and again starts cleaning it up. And as she's busy working, putting away all the blocks in the block containers and the stuffed animals in the stuffed animal containers, Johanna has crawled back into the living room. And pretty soon she is again liberating the toys once again out of their prison containers and onto the floor. I'm watching all this thinking, this is like the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. Who is going to win? And I remember thinking, this is so funny. But wisdom and experience told me, do not laugh today. Otherwise, you will end up on toy pickup duty. There are some things you just cannot learn from books. But moms are awesome. Everybody say amen at that. Moms are awesome. Kids, can you imagine, just imagine for a moment, what your room or what your house would look like without your mom and your dad to help a little bit, without them there to help make sure things are picked up? What would your room look like without mom and dad there? Most parents like to have their house clean. And we try to do that. We try to keep the house picked up. But every Friday, we especially kind of stop and clean things up. And now everybody, not just mom, has chores to do. But is there anyone here who only cleans up their house one day a year? There's one. It's just one day a year. You're like, that's the day we're cleaning. And after that, we're just going to leave it be. Anybody do that? Not too many. Well, today we're going to talk about how God cleans up his house. But he does it just one day a year. Now, last week we began our sanctuary service, and we learned how a guilty sinner could come to the sanctuary to find forgiveness. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 77, verse 13, "Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary." So God's way to save the sinner, is right there, and it's portrayed in symbols. The sinner would come to the sanctuary, confess his wrong, but he couldn't just confess his wrong. He had to come and he had to bring a lamb with him. Then that perfect and innocent lamb had to die for the sins of the sinner. This is what we talked about last Sabbath when we were together. After confessing those sins, then that person left the sanctuary and he left clean, forgiven of all his sins. But the service was not over. Then the priest began his part of the service, and he would take the blood of the lamb, which was symbolic for sin, and he would go into the holy place and sprinkle it before the altar of incense and before the veil. And so God's house, his sanctuary, was getting dirtied up all year long, symbolically with sin. But God had a plan to clean his house. And not just to straighten things up a little bit like I do when I clean. But God's plan was to completely clean things up and remove all the sin. Now, last week we looked at the daily services in the sanctuary, what would happen every day there. This week we're going to study the yearly service, something that happened just one day of the year. And today we're going to learn how God cleans everything. It was on the last day of the year in the Jewish calendar that God told his people how he was going to clean them all. And that day was called the Day of Atonement. Now, atonement is a fancy word. I'm sure you probably use it all day long in your conversations throughout the week. Well, maybe not. It's not really a word that comes up a whole lot. Maybe we don't exactly know what it means, though we've heard it, Day of Atonement. You can get lots of theological answers for it, but to really understand it, you just kind of chop it up into its syllables a bit. Atonement just means at one mint. It means to be brought together again, to be at one, to be reconciled. And that's what God is doing in this service. But before the Day of Atonement, they had another annual feast called the Feast of Trumpets. That would happen 10 days before the Day of Atonement. This was when trumpets were blown throughout the land to announce the coming day, to warn the people to prepare. And on the Day of Atonement, people stopped working. They stopped their normal activities and they began praying on this special day. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to invite you to open them up. We're going to look in Leviticus 16. Leviticus might not be the book that you hang out the most in the Bible, but it's a fascinating book with a lot of powerful passages and things we can learn. So we're going to look in Leviticus 16 today, and we're going to try to understand the Day of Atonement and how God cleans everything. Leviticus 16, we're going to look at verse 29 and 30. And it says there in Leviticus 16, verse 29, "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls." To afflict your soul means that you're taking an introspection. You're looking at yourself, who you are as a person. You're thinking about the life you've lived, afflicting their souls. "And do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." So God told his people to humble themselves, to confess any and all sins, because the Day of Atonement was seen as the day of judgment for Israel. So what exactly happened on this special day? How did God clean the sanctuary? Well, I'm going to give you just an overview today. Of course, you can study Leviticus 16 and go far deeper in your own personal study, but just an overview. On that day, the high priest would take two goats. You read about that in Leviticus 16, verse 5. He'd take two goats, and then the priest would cast lots, somehow to make a distinction between these goats, which were pretty much the same otherwise. They would cast lots, and that's in verse 8, to show which goat was going to be which. And one goat, because Lot's became known as the Lord's goat. The other one was called the Azazel, or sometimes your Bibles might say the scapegoat. Then the high priest took the Lord's goat and sacrificed it. We see that in verse 15, Leviticus 16, verse 15. It says, "Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat." Now notice, there's something different about this sacrifice than what we talked about last week. Did you catch it? It says he would sacrifice the goat, the Lord's goat, but he didn't place his hands on it. And he didn't confess any sins on this goat. You have to remember that. The goat is killed for the people, it says. And at that time when this is happening, all of God's people are outside the sanctuary. They're praying, they're confessing, they're trying to see if there's anything that's been between them and God. But God was dealing on this day not with just their sins privately, like the daily service, but he's dealing with them collectively. It's important for us to remember that we are all in this together. Amen? Because we as a society, we lean so individualistic today. There's so much separation between us. But this cleansing was cleaning everyone, everything, the whole camp. Friends, this means that we need to be right with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? It's a powerful truth. You can't be right with God and wrong with your neighbor at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Now remember again, no sins are confessed on the Lord's goat. And that's because this sacrifice was not about bringing more sin into the sanctuary. Not this day. That had been done every day, and that happened in the daily service, which happened on that day. But this sacrifice, the Lord's goat, was to clean the sanctuary of all the confessed sins of all the people for all year long. So let's think for a moment about what this symbolizes. Last week we talked about the fancy terms of type and antitype. A type being something in the Old Testament that points forward to a greater reality in the New. The lambs that were sacrificed were the type, pointing forward to Jesus, the true Lamb of God who died on the cross, the antitype. So let's try to understand this service with that rationale. Let's take a wild guess. Who do you think the Lord's goat symbolizes? It's not hard. It symbolizes the Lord. It's pretty simple there. But how awesome is this, friends? How powerful is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross? His blood does not just cleanse you of your sin. Jesus' blood can cleanse all his people for all time. Ultimately, that's what it can do. Not just daily or yearly, but ultimately it will clean the universe. There is power in the blood of Jesus. In this service, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, he takes the goat's blood, which symbolizes the death of Christ, takes it and goes into the most holy place. He only went in there one day of the year. And this time, he sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat. We see that in Leviticus 16, verse 15. And the mercy seat was the lid on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant symbolizes God's throne. Inside the Ark were the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses. The forever foundation of God's government is there. But how awesome is it that the seat of God's throne is called the mercy seat? Amen? That's just amazing. I love that fact because there's grace right in the most holy place. Look at Leviticus chapter 16, verse 17 now. So there shall be no man in the sanctuary of meeting when he goes to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. The priest makes atonement for all of Israel, and that's a key point. Don't lose that fact. All of Israel and the sanctuary are atoned for by the blood of the Lord's goat. That is grace, right here in Leviticus. So everyone is clean. Watch this now. When the priest has finished in there, everyone is clean. Everyone is atoned for by the blood of Jesus, the antitype. But the service is not over. Look at verse 20. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle meeting, the altar, he shall bring the live goat. So catch this now. He's finished atoning for the people, for the sanctuary. Everything is clean. All the people are clean. And then he goes to the next goat. So remember, everything and everyone is already atoned for by the Lord's goat, which symbolizes Jesus, before the next goat comes in. Verse 21. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, that's the Azazel goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable or fit man. So now, the high priest this time, he places his hands on this goat, on the Azazel goat, and all the sins, or your Bible might say all the rebellion or the blame of the sins are placed on this live goat. And then the Azazel goat is taken away into the wilderness and left there. Verse 21, or verse 22. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Now, folks, this is a domesticated goat that is being left out in the wilderness, so it doesn't stand a chance. There's no herds of goats roaming around Israel. It has no chance once it's left there. But notice, no human being killed it. It is not sacrificed. God would see to its demise. So the big question here this morning is, who does Azazel symbolize? What does this Azazel goat symbolize? So key points you have to realize. Number one, the Azazel goat is used after, he comes into the service after all of God's people are atoned for by the blood of the Lord's goat. So the Azazel goat is not cleansing anybody. That's already happened. So the Azazel goat cannot symbolize Jesus. The Azazel goat is also not sacrificed in this service. He's led away and left alive in the wilderness. So if it's not sacrificed, this goat cannot symbolize Jesus, who is our sacrifice. The priest places all the sin or all the blame or the rebellion for sin on Azazel after the people are already clean. So what does this goat symbolize? Our only conclusion, friends, is that this goat in symbol form represents the fallen angel, represents the devil, the one who is ultimately responsible for all the rebellion and all the sins. And friends, even if you look outside the Bible, from the clues here in the Bible, we can recognize who it is, who's being symbolized here. But if you look outside the Bible for extra biblical books or Jewish writings, Azazel is never seen or portrayed in a good way. He's always spoken about in an evil way, never as symbolic of God, never as symbolic of the coming Messiah. The Day of Atonement points to how God will ultimately rid the universe of Satan and sin forever. Now, when that man returned after he'd removed Azazel from camp so that it would never come back and so that it would meet its demise out there, he comes back and he's washed, and the Day of Atonement is finished. Chapter 16, verse 34. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Everything is clean after this day. Now, the Day of Atonement is also a type, just like everything else in the sanctuary. It showed how God would deal collectively with the people's sins for all the year. It symbolizes Jesus' work in heaven as the high priest and how God will ultimately remove sin for all time. praise the Lord that it's not just daily services of daily confession and daily, I got more sin, here's my sin. Praise the Lord that we can come to God with the promise that one day it will be gone forever. And when we look in the sanctuary and at the Feast of the Old Testament, we see God teaching us using symbols of what Jesus is going to do to save. The spring feasts that took place were all fulfilled in Jesus' first coming. Jesus as the Passover lamb that happened in the spring. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The leaven is a symbol of sin, showing how God's going to remove sin from the lives of the sinner. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of First Fruits, or the wave sheath, is a symbol of Jesus dying and being resurrected. And then the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, is when the Holy Spirit is poured out. All those spring feasts were fulfilled at Jesus' first coming. But friends, the fall feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, point us not to the first coming of Jesus, but to the second coming of Christ. We see how the Day of Atonement taught God's people how he's going to judge and how he cleans them of all their sin. But the question remains today, when's this going to happen? When's it going to start? When's the antitypical type? When does judgment start? And how is God going to ultimately remove all sin for all time? Well, we're going to answer those questions next Sabbath. So you have to come back. But friends, it's a wonderful feeling being clean, isn't it? It's an amazing feeling. Jeanette shared with me years ago how her older sister Sarah would sometimes just take a day and would clean her whole house from top to bottom. And once she got the house completely clean, she would just sit back and sigh. Anybody do that? Once it's all clean, just and just smile at a clean house. It's good to be clean. Well, maybe today you feel too dirty to be cleaned by God. Maybe you feel like, man, my life hasn't been cleaned in over a year. Or you feel like your life that you've lived, you've made a mess of it, and the mess is too great. Or maybe you feel like my little girl, Johanna, when she was a toddler, said, I'm just going from room to room making messes, Pastor. Well, my friend, no matter where you're at and no matter how messy you may feel, the Day of Atonement reveals God's deep cleaning. You think you do deep cleaning to clean your house? God's deep cleaning cleans all his house, all his people, of all their sins for all time. And this shows us how God wants to forgive and remove all your sins. There is no house too messy for God. For your life is not too messy that the greatest detergent in the universe, the blood of Jesus, cannot wash you completely clean. And next week we're going to see how God's deep cleaning of the Day of Atonement cleans up you, cleans up me, and the whole universe forever. Never to be dirty again. But until that amazing day comes, God tells us to watch. And he says, keep bringing your mess to me. He says, come to me and find the power from Christ to live differently and to be freed from sin's rule. God calls us today to be praying. Just like the Israelites were outside when the service took place, they were praying and searching their hearts. Because I'm here to tell you, Jesus is still in heaven forgiving sins, amen? But time is short. So we need to be sharing this good news of our God who still does deep cleaning, and we need to be sharing that with those who we meet. And we need to be watching, because Jesus' second coming and God's deep cleaning is almost here. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that no matter how big a mess we've made of life, it's not bigger than you. and we can still be cleaned today. So we come to you, Lord, and all we can do is offer up our mess. But as long as we bring the Lamb with us, Lord, we can find forgiveness. And we can find hope today that you're not just going to keep collecting sin in the sanctuary. Someday soon, you're going to wipe it all away. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord, and we claim it today. Now help us to be watching and to be waiting, for soon the judge is going to finish his work, and soon the deep cleaning will clean us forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.